Good evening, those of you that are here for the first time, welcome. Last time that we were together, our first night, we did the first chapter in the manual on Do You Know Who You Are, which is very important because if we don't build upon a solid, positive foundation of who we really are now as new creations in Christ, then we are not going to get the benefits of all that the Holy Spirit wants to do in each of our lives. And instead of just going on to the next section, we just felt, Jen and I talked about this, and we just felt that we needed to cover this area of recognizing how and when God speaks to us. I think this is perhaps the most major issue for Christians around the world. So many times we doubt the voice of God simply because we do not recognize that what we are hearing, what we're receiving, is really God. We wonder if it's ourselves, and we even wonder if it's the devil trying to lead us astray. And so as far as I understand in the ministry of the prophetic, then, you know, the whole foundation for it to operate is our connecting with the voice of God. Because the spiritual gifts, obedience to God, all of these things happen as a direct result of our hearing what God's asking of us. So if we don't know what God's saying, we don't know what to do. We will just do a religious habitual thing because that's what we know. But you see, the Holy Spirit wants to so be Lord and Master in our lives, to exalt Jesus in our lives, so that we can be experiencing the joy of living with a very creative Holy Spirit who wants to use us to do creative things. And creative things usually are, you've never done that before. And that's where we start to get a little bit nervous because we haven't practiced it. Well, I don't know how to practice for the Holy Spirit except obeying Him. And so we're just looking at this area of tonight of how does God speak to us? And I hope you've got pens and papers because I think you will be amazed as we just open it up and get you to tell us different ways that God speaks to us. Because there is no one set way in the scriptures by which God speaks to everybody all the time, is there? God speaks in many different ways. I have a scripture that I just felt to read to us tonight, right at the very beginning of this, in Genesis chapter 22. It brings out the importance of what we are covering here tonight. And let me say that we will only cover such a little bit because the voice of God is just so exhaustive. There are just so many different ways by which God speaks and so on. But we will touch this area because this is a springboard for the operation of spiritual gifts. You know, part of the purpose of this school is that everybody here will flow in spiritual gifts. And to flow in spiritual gifts, we have to recognize the impression that God is speaking to us, learning to capture which thoughts God and which is ourselves. That voice that you hear, is it God and so on? Because spiritual gifts operate directly as a result of the Holy Spirit revealing something to you, causing you to see, to know, to hear something. And out of that, we step out and it becomes a spiritual gift. But the importance of obedience, Genesis 22. You remember the story when Abraham was told by God to take his son Isaac up to Mount Moriah and offer him for a sacrifice. You know, the amazing thing to me about this record in the scriptures is that God promised Abraham a son. He waited something like 25 years for him. And then when he gets to about a teenage stage of life, God says, I want him back. And Abraham, by this time in his life, had so learned to trust the voice of God that he didn't doubt it. He was so yielded to God that he was prepared to do whatever God asked him. And so here he is up Mount Moriah. He's about to sacrifice his son, his only son, and the voice of God calls and tells him not to do that, and he provides the ram, you know, in the bush and so on. But this is the scriptures that I'll read. Verse 15. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. In your seed all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. That's the whole basis for the blessings of God. Because you have obeyed my voice, all of these benefits, millions of people receive the blessing of God as a result of one man's obedience. Think for a moment, what could happen if every one of us in this room were totally obedient to God? We could change our generation very quickly. In the scriptures, from Genesis to Revelation, it's all about the voice of God. From Genesis to Revelation, God is speaking. God is saying something. A year or two ago, the Holy Spirit spoke this into my heart and said, every great hero in the scriptures all started out in life as an unknown nobody, until one event happened in the life of them all, and that one event was they heard the voice of God and obeyed. And the obedience to the voice of God changed them from nobodies to somebodies. You read all of the great characters. They all encountered God in such a way that they learned to know when God was talking to them. And when they did what God said, God set them on a course of changing a nation. God thinks in terms of nation. And he wants us to be men and women who had such a big encounter with God that we could actually conceive the thought that maybe God could use you and me to change a nation. Because he doesn't need a whole crowd of people. He just needs people who are available. People who will dare to believe the voice of God more than our own logical reasoning and doubt and intellectual trying to sort and work God out thing. And so this hearing the voice of God, how does God speak to us? I know how God speaks to me, and I'm still learning, because God in his creativity wants to speak to us in different ways at different times. Just for the sake of those of you that haven't heard a little bit of my testimony. I came to the Lord when I was 17 and had an experience whereby I gave my life to Jesus when there was a fiery old grey-headed preacher preaching in this little church in Palmerston North, and he literally scared the hell out of me. And of course, when you give your life to Jesus, that's what happens. Amen? And so I went out of that place that night feeling like a bird that had been let out of a cage. I never realized it before that, but I'd been set free. Well, I went on with the Lord for a few months, and I was very involved in sport, and went away to Gisborne with a rugby team, and found out that I was the only Christian on the team. They found out I was a Christian, and let me know that they did not like Christians, and I did not like persecution. So I just said, goodbye, Jesus, been there, done that, tried that. And for the next 6 months of my life, I experienced what we call being a backslider. I do not recommend it. It was being proven to be the 6 most miserable months of my entire life. At the end of that 6 months, one day my mum, who was a Christian, came into my room and she just said to me, oh, the old preacher died today. Oh, get out of here, you know, I've been there, done that, that's not for me. She said, I think you ought to know, he died today. And went out of the room and left me alone. And as I stood there in the room just thinking about that, I very, very quickly sobered up. And suddenly, I became aware that somehow I was connected to that man. He was my spiritual father. And the moment I realized that, for the first time in my life, I clearly heard the voice of God somewhere down here. This was strongly impressed on me. These words, somebody has to take his place. In a moment of time, I knew that somebody was me. And I knew from those words that God was calling me to the ministry. Now, I grew up a failure, school dropout, didn't even sit school examinations, what they call NCA now, because I said, what's the use? I'm going to fail, so let's hightail it out of school. So I left a week before the exams. And so I grew up with this failure complex. I don't know why, but I just couldn't see myself succeeding. And then God speaks to me that somebody has to take this man's place. You know, it's interesting. A number of years later, I actually sat down and I tried to piece together all the places in New Zealand that that man preached, and I preached in them. I took his place. Then I was baptized in water, and then they began to teach me about this, receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit. So people would pray for me again and again and again, and I would feel the anointing, get the shakes, but I had a problem with the fear of man, and I just couldn't be free. And then one day, just very quickly, my mother brought an old-time Pentecostal lady into our house. You know what one of them are, aren't you? Very zealous, but no wisdom. And she hadn't been in our home 5 minutes when she just about had her finger stuck up my nostril saying, "Young man, are you giving your life to Jesus?" I nearly had a heart attack. I wasn't used to this kind of evangelism. And she come back at me and said, "Young man, have you been baptized in water?" "Yes." "Young man, have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost?" I said, "I'm seeking." Well, that was the wrong answer. And she hadn't had me there 5 minutes, and she got her hands on my head, and she was going to get me filled with the Holy Spirit no matter what. Now I don't have the fear of man, I got the fear of woman. And that's worse, I can tell you. She had a hold of me, and she would not let me go. "Young man, speak the first thing that comes into your mind." And my mind's blank. And this went on and on and on. And I could see that I wasn't winning, and she knew she wasn't winning. She said, "Just speak the first thing." So finally, I remember I shut my eyes tight. I took a big, deep breath. I opened my mouth and I heard myself say, "George, George." Who on earth is George? I don't know. I tell you, I was so embarrassed. I wrenched myself out of her clutches. And I ran out of the house vowing and declaring that nobody would ever lay hands on me ever again to receive the Holy Spirit. And they didn't. And God had mercy on me. Because, you know, the hunger didn't go away. I knew if I was going to serve God, I had to have more power in my life than what I had. And so God caught me very unawares one morning, 5:30 a.m., rounding up the cows for milking. And the Holy Spirit hit me in the middle of the herd of cows. And I just began speaking a language I'd never learned. It just poured out of me as I'd been speaking it all of my life. And I was just there in the presence of God. The cows didn't seem to mind. And I did not have the fear of cows, so that was all right. I don't know how long that went on for, because I just lost consciousness of time. But I know that when I stopped speaking what we call tongues in the spirit language, for the second time in my life, I clearly heard the voice of God. And he said this to me, "I am raising you up to be a preacher of the gospel. And my sign to you that I'm raising you up to be a preacher of the gospel is that I am going to open doors for you to preach straight away." I was 18 years and 2 months old. And that's exactly what happened. Within a very short time, a Maori marae just north of Foxton opened up for meetings that Jean's dad was a pastor. And they went out there in the very first meeting. This little two-year-old boy with a very badly deformed club foot was brought for prayer and was instantly, totally healed. He grew up to play rugby, so you've got to have good feet to do that. As a result of that, scores of people from all around the Foxton, Shannon area began flocking to Motueti Pa every Thursday night. And we just saw all sorts of people healed and delivered and set free. A lot of generational curses and so on. And I got thrown in the deep end and began to preach. 49 years later, I'm still preaching. Those words, just as a young Christian, were impressed upon me. I felt it. I can't say it was an audible voice, but it was clear enough that I have never forgotten the words that were spoken. When I was still 18, one day, God again spoke to me and said these words, which I have built my Christian life and ministry upon ever since. He said this, "If you will get to know my voice, and you will do what I ask you, there is nowhere in this world where you and I cannot go together and we not be successful." For somebody who grew up a failure, that was great news. And that became the prophetic foundation for our life and ministry. And to this day, that is still the basis. You can't just trust your Bible knowledge. We got to hear from the boss. We got to hear from the Lord. I mean, we are his sons and daughters. And to me, in my simple understanding, families, fathers and parents and children and so on, we talk to one another. And God talks today, and he wants to talk to us in all sorts of different ways. You see, but so many times we Christians have got mindsets about the voice of God. And one of the mindsets that I encounter all around the world, I can teach on this kind of subject in churches and that around the world, and at the end of it, some well-meaning Christian will come up to you and say, "Yes, brother, it's all very well, but God only speaks through the Bible." I don't say it out loud, but I think to myself, we've got a right one here. You know, that is such a narrow mindset. When Jean and I left Palmerston North and moved, before we moved to Hamilton, I was going to be an associate pastor in a church up there, and I went for those dreaded interviews. And sitting in the interview, hardly got seated there, settled down, and one of the elders points his finger at me and he said, "Rodney, can you give us 6 scriptures whereby God has called you to come to Hamilton?" And I smiled at him and said, "Well, actually, no, I can't give you any, but I know God's calling me here." Well, that sort of didn't help the meeting very much. And I knew I was on the negative at that point until I made the statement, of course, if I come here, I would only expect 6 months' salary. It's amazing how their doctrines changed at that point. I got the job. You see, it wasn't about scriptures at all. That was just tradition, habit. If the financial situation met the criteria, well, it's okay. And, you know, and that's quite sad, because we should have the courage of our convictions to live by them. Right? So you've got to know how and when God is speaking to you. Because if we don't learn to hear God's voice, and this is the thing that we don't hear people being taught too much today, is that every time God speaks to us, I find you have to do something physically. You have to demonstrate to God that you believe that's God speaking to you, and whatever he says, you are prepared to commit to doing what he asks you. Okay? Because that's the way we grow in faith. That's the way we grow in experiencing what God wants to do with us in our lives. Because every one of us here, God wants to deal with us in different ways. We're sons and daughters. We're not Christian clones or clowns. You are uniquely you. And you know what I've discovered? That when God speaks to you or God speaks to me, that's exactly right for you at that time. God knows exactly what you need to hear at any given point in your life. And that's why we have to, you know, develop a listening ear, an open heart. Because first and foremost, we are here to serve God. And the only way we can serve God is knowing what he's saying to us, and we can do it. When I would just share something with you, and I don't think God's going to do this with everybody else, but I just want to share this with you. When I was still 18 years of age, we're talking right back in 1960 now, there was a conference in Palmerston North whereby 6 churches joined together for this convention, they called them in those days. Now that was pretty unique back there when churches united for that. Well, being the young Christian and zealous that I was, well, working on the farm and rushing around on the farm to get the work done so that I could get into the town and get to the conference. You know, I wanted to be in the meetings. I'm hungry to know more about God. And as I think we're pulling turnips or some ridiculous job at the time. And as I was doing that, the Holy Spirit said to me, "You don't need to go to those meetings today." What? I should tell him. You know, the Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of yourself together. He said, why don't you spend the day with me by the river? Our farm ran onto the Manawatu River. And with that came a desire that I wanted to go and spend the day between the milkings down by the river. So I took my Bible and went down by the river, and I was down there for something like 5 hours just talking to the Lord, reading my Bible, having a wonderful time. And I remember opening my Bible and I started to read from Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10 about putting on the whole armor of God, and I'm just like, wow, you know. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me and said, I want you to speak this message at the conference tonight. What? What? I said, well, I can't speak. I've got no authority. I've got no authority at all in that conference. And how can this happen? And so on. And so I said, God, if this is really you, then when I get to that conference tonight, you have got to cause the man in charge to walk up to me and say these exact words. Rodney, do you have a word from the Lord for this meeting tonight? I thought, that will fix it. So, after having a good time with God, went home, milked the cows, got cleaned up, and go into the conference that night, and I'd kind of forgotten what I'd said down at the river, you see. And I remember walking in this conference, big hall, and there's people gathering, and there's the leader of the conference way across the other side of this big hall, and he looked up and he saw me walk in the door, and he straight away started walking straight towards me. And I'm sitting there saying, oh no, oh no. He comes straight up to me and said, Rodney, do you have a word from the Lord for this meeting tonight? I tell you, I was tempted to tell a lie. So he made room for me, and I got up and I preached my heart out from Ephesians 6 about the whole armor of God. And then I did something I'd never done in my life before. I gave an altar call, and these people come out, three or four people, Salvation Army people in uniform, come out the front, and I didn't know what to do. I said, excuse me, this is an altar call for salvation. Go and sit down. They burst into tears and said, we need to give our hearts to Jesus. Well, I didn't know what to do. I was just rattled, eh? So I called all the pastors out. There were about six pastors there. Come and pray, you know. And I went and sat down way over on the side there, thinking that it was all over, you know. And so these pastors were praying for all these people. Then they gave a call for those that wanted to receive the Holy Spirit. And people came out. And there were two brothers, one on one aisle and one on the other, sitting there. And my cousins, actually. And I'm sitting over there, and these pastors are praying for these guys to get filled with the Holy Spirit, and nothing was happening. And after a while, one by one, the pastors went and sat down, and they weren't filled with the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit said to me, I want you to go and put your hand on that one's head. Well, did I have an argument with God. I said, excuse me, God, if those six pastors can pray for these people and nothing happens, and when they go and sit down, I get up, walk across in front of everybody and put my hand on their head, what will they think about me? So I'm sitting there having an argument with God, and the anointing of the Spirit comes upon me, so I'm literally starting to shake, and then I'm bouncing up and down on my feet. So one of the times I was up, I put my feet down and started walking. And I just went across, put my hand on just that one's head. The power of God hit him. He flew out of his seat from about where Sean is and landed here on his knees on a wooden floor. And his hand shot up in the air and he was sovereignly baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that was the end of it for that night as far as what God asked me to do. But these were the kind of things that God was teaching me right back there in the early days of my Christian ministry. And that has stood me in good stead as over the years as I have matured a bit in my Christian walk, God has sent me on missions around the world that if I didn't know the voice of God, I would never have gone, would never do it, because it's just crazy. You know, when you're sitting in your home, this happened in Hamilton, some of you read it in my books and that, but I'm in an elders meeting in Hamilton. And we're going to pray about something, don't ask me what. So we're sitting there and praying, and the next thing, with my eyes shut, I'm having a vision. And I'm hearing the voice of God saying, I am sending you to Hawaii, and when you get there, you are to minister to a lady in a blue dress and heal her of a wounded spirit. And my sign to you that you've found the right lady is that when you see her, compassion will be released out of your innermost being and tears will run down your face. Now, I couldn't understand that because in the past, all I would have needed was a lady in a blue dress and I'd have found her somehow. So when this was all over, I don't know, stopped praying. So I said to the pastor and elders, I said, I don't know where you guys have been, but I've just been to Hawaii. Oh, your old Francis, he's out to lunch again, you know. We were booked to go there. 2 weeks later, I'm in Hawaii, in this church to speak for the first time, and as I stood up to speak and I looked out over the congregation, you wouldn't believe it, nearly every lady had a blue dress on. Instantly I knew why God had given me the other signs. And so I've learned, and this is something that we'll learn here in the school, is how to use your ears, use your eyes, your spiritual heart. So important that we learn to use our eyes. So much of the voice of God operates through the eye gate. But I don't hear this being taught very much. Jesus ministered through the eye gate. All the prophets, they saw things in the spirit. And we've got to learn to believe what we're seeing with the eye of the spirit. So as I'm preaching, they don't know what I'm doing except I'm just making eye contact with every lady with a blue dress on. Because this is the reason God has sent me there. And I, silly old me, started the wrong side of the meeting, didn't I? So I had to work my way all the way around till I got over here. And here's this white American lady sitting there with this blue dress. And the moment I made eye contact with her, in here, and tears began to run down my face. And I tell you, it's very hard to explain this. But I knew I was standing in a moment of destiny. I had absolutely no doubt I was in the right place at the right time with the right message for the right person. And so I shared with that lady what God had told me about her 6,000 miles away, that he had sent me all this way to heal her of a wounded spirit. She was just amazed. She'd run away from a world-renowned ministry in America because they had wounded her spirit, because she couldn't say no, and they just used her until her spirit broke. And she ran away, and she'd been hiding in Hawaii for 3 years. She said, this is an amazing thing, but 2 weeks ago, the same time that God was speaking to me 6,000 miles away in New Zealand, she said, a Christian lady said something to me that stirred all that wounding up. She didn't even know she'd done it. I thought I was healed. But suddenly I realized, not only was I not healed, I did not know how to get healed. And she said, the last 2 weeks of my life have been terrible. Then she said something else to me that absolutely blew me away. She said, you know, blue is not my color. Today is the first day in my adult life that I have worn a blue dress. She was 28 years of age. And she said, the only reason I wore this blue dress today was because 1 week ago from America, I received this box with two dresses in from my father. And I just wore this blue one today to honor my earthly father. Yet, before she even owned that dress, the Holy Spirit had shown me to look for a lady with a blue dress. You see, that's the God factor. I couldn't organize that if I tried, and nor could you. But this is the joy, folks, of knowing the voice of God and being prepared to step out and do whatever God asks you, even if it doesn't make sense to you. That's what we've got to learn, to break through that barrier. Because as long as we doubt the voice of God, we will do nothing, except us Christians, of course, that we really believe Him. You know, we've got to break through this doubt area, whereby we know how God speaks to us. Because that's what Christianity is about. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. They know me and they follow me." In John 14, Jesus said, "If a man loves me, he will keep my word. He will do what I ask. The person who doesn't love me is the person who does not do what I say." And we know from the very first miracle in Jesus' ministry in John 2, where he turned water into wine, Mary, the mother of Jesus, had that revelation. She just said to the servants, "Whatsoever he says to you to do, do it." You see, there has to be the corresponding actions if we want to see God fulfill his promises to us. So, I mean, with that Hawaii thing, I was booked to go to Hawaii, but, you know, we didn't know what we were going into. But when we get there, you see, the Lord uses us like that. And that woman today is back in ministry. I mean, it was just amazing how God sorted all of that out in her life just through an act of obedience. Now, I have the choice every time I stand in the pulpit. You can just preach a sermon and don't trust God, or don't listen for the voice of God in case he wants you to minister to somebody. You know, we can be where we don't take any risks, brother. Yeah. Or we can step out on a limb and say, "Okay, God, what do you want to say? What do you want to do here?" Because we say when we come together like this, I mean, the scripture, we quote it. "We two or three are gathered together in my name, I'm there in the midst." But we put handcuffs on him and we put masking tape over his mouth. "Do not disturb us. We're having a service." We do. You know, if every time we went into Christian meetings and we went with an attitude to give, "Lord, here I am, I'm available. What do you want to use me to say, to do, to be here today? Who needs blessing? Who needs to be touched by God?" You'd be surprised that God would speak to you, because God's looking for laborers and they're few. He wants us to be men and women who listen to his voice. Okay, just for a little while now, how does God speak? Does God just speak to you in one way? How many different ways does God speak to you? Is it an audible voice? Is it an impression? Does he always speak through the scriptures? Do you have pictures, visions, dreams, visitations of angels? How does it happen for you? Because we need to be thinking about these things. How God speaks to us. Anyone? How does God speak to you?
I find that if I hear a good sermon like you have with encouragement, that makes me feel like God is speaking to me and I'm willing to take that step.
Yes.
Of obedience.
Yes.
To do what he's asking me to do, otherwise I'll seem to think I'm just nobody.
Yes.
And why would he ask me to do anything? And so I find it's really good to hear the word and be encouraged.
Yes. God wants to speak to us through one another, but you see, if we don't recognize the voice of God, we'll miss so much of his voice through speaking with one another, because we'll just say, "Oh, well, that's just Kim, or that's Joy, or that's Rodney," and, you know, wave at the fairies again. Because it's surprising how people laugh at you when you do the will of God. Okay? So how else does God speak?
God spoke to me with a very strong impression in my mind.
Strong impression?
A very strong impression. And if I hadn't obeyed, I'd have had a motor vehicle accident.
God? Yep. That's good. Impression? Someone else?
Just a thought in me. Thought?
Yes. Dream?
An audible voice, very loud and strong.
Yes. Do you hear the audible voice?
Very clearly.
God? Anyone else hear the audible voice of God? Good, isn't it? So what do you do when you hear it?
Obey.
That's important, isn't it? Taking it through into a practical, physical outworking of obedience. Anyone else?
I get pictures, and it's kind of, you see the whole scenario worked out, and you've just got to go and walk it through.
Yes. Do you see them in colour, black and white?
Yeah, in colour.
Colour?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So do you discover, we'll possibly do a night on this sometime, it's very interesting. Do you recognise that certain colours or certain things within the pictures represent certain truths and that?
Yeah, some colours are very overpowering, and like purple and red and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm very visual and very colour orientated.
Okay. Anyone else?
Angels.
Yes. If you're hearing what's going on around the world right now, there's a whole lot of talk about visitations of angels and stuff, and you need to have a lot of discernment in that area, because it's not all God, okay? And it's one area where we really do need to be discerning. I mean, God does want to speak to us by angels and so on, and he does, but you know, the old devil himself tries to set himself up as an angel of light, you know, to try and deceive. This is why the voice of God is so important. And one of the things that perhaps concerns me is because there is such a lack of the supernatural happening in the churches often, is that when somebody does rise up with some signs and wonders followers, people go flocking after it without stopping to think now, you know, to discern what's going on. And so we do need to really be wise and discerning in some of these things, so that we are listening to the right ones and rejecting the wrong ones. Right? So, anyone else?
I sometimes hear three voices. One's like really strong and commanding, and when I don't do what it wants to get agitated. Then the other one tells me what I want to hear, and then the other one's a still whisper that just is like really calm, and then I just do that when everything goes that way.
So which is which?
God's the whispering one.
That's great. Steve, yeah, still small voice. God speaks, be still and know that I'm God. It's very interesting, isn't it, with the voice of God, that when God speaks, there is a real peace, there's an inner excitement about it, there's an inner knowing. But when it's the voice of man, or and especially the enemy, he's always trying to get you to rush into making a major decision that you're going to finish up regretting. He tries to drive you into a direction that God doesn't want us to go. And sometimes he has very tempting baits with, you know, offer of more money or better position, maybe even in the church, when God's calling you into something different. And so we need to learn to listen and to know the voice of God. Yeah, see, you've got to know the voice of God for you, and I've got to know it for me. It's not for me to tell you that the way God speaks to me is the way that God's got to speak to you. We've got to know it for ourselves. But I tell you, if we can get it right in this area, you will fulfill your destiny. And we don't all get it right all the time. We learn, even Jesus learned obedience. Obedience is not a gift. We can't impart obedience to you. It's something that's learned. And it's learned out of a walk with Jesus, and learning to recognize how and when he speaks to us. And I think that we've especially got to know his voice, is that when God chooses to speak to us in a way that he's never spoken to us before, that we can still recognize it. I say this, I believe that God wants us to so know his voice that he has the freedom to speak to us any way he wants to, and we will still know it's him, because there are just many different ways. Okay, just quickly through here, God speaks through his word, the Logos. He speaks through dreams, visions. We heard servants of God through the preaching. God can speak to us through circumstances, but don't get locked into circumstances, because God doesn't need circumstances. God's bigger than circumstances. He speaks to us through songs, angels, the Holy Spirit speaks. I personally believe that the importance for the baptism of the Holy Spirit in our life is that He is the voice of God. We hear the voice of God much more clearly when we have the Holy Spirit within us. Because Jesus said when He has come to you, He will not speak of Himself, He will speak of Me. He will testify of Me. He will show you things to come. He will speak, and you read in the book of Acts in the early church when they were needing decisions and so on, the Holy Spirit spoke and said, separate Me, Barnabas and Paul, for the work of the ministry. And in the early church, they had such confidence in the prophetic realm that they were free to immediately obey the voice of God that came through the Holy Spirit, which obviously came through prophetic men and women who were listening to God and they were prophesying out the word of the Lord. They didn't have to go and wait till the next 6 weekly elders meeting to get the rubber stamp to say, we approve of you obeying God. They went out and they did it. And you see that God went with them and confirmed the word with signs following. So, the Holy Spirit, the ear gate. God speaks through the ears. He speaks through spiritual gifts. He speaks through prophecy. He can speak to us through families. You know, families that have got a godly heritage can hear the voice of God usually a lot more clearer than families that don't have a godly heritage. Prayer. God speaks to us in prayer. Isn't that why we pray? Well, we hope you will talk to us, Lord. Fasting. Musical instruments. Some of you have heard this, but in 2007 there was 11 of us in Nigeria. And we were doing a school of the Holy Spirit way out in the bush. 3,000 people turned up. We had 300 bodyguards. I never felt so protected in all my life. Anyway, one of our team was a prophetic musician. And he's learned how to use his musical instrument to release the presence of God, perhaps like no one else that I've met. I had him in Fiji with me one time at this conference. This packed hall and the locals were hyping up the music for 45 minutes, you know, and people, they didn't go anywhere spiritually. And at the end of it, Kerry stood up and he said, I want to show you how I can take you right into the throne room of God on one song. And he started to sing and play that song, Hallelujah, you know, the Agnus Dei song. And on one song, the whole conference was brought into the presence of God. It was awesome. You just suddenly saw the difference between performance and sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Well, in Nigeria, Kerry is teaching on prophetic ministry and music. And he asked the Holy Spirit, he said, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to play? He's got a soprano saxophone with him. The Holy Spirit said to him, play one note. He said, well, one note, a musician, I'm a musician, one note? What note? Holy Spirit said, play one note. So he went very quiet, shut his eyes, he just waited on the Lord for a minute, and he put the saxophone to his lips, and he just played one note. When he played out that one note, the power of God hit 3,000 people. They were sprawled on the floor. We were standing there watching it all happen. Never touched any of them. The power of God swept into that place. It was just awesome. You see, God's looking for obedience. You see, we think to have we've got to have a 10-piece band to get God working. No. God's looking for people who are sensitive enough to His voice that if He says play one note, play one note. I'll never forget one night in Hamilton when we were teaching things of the Holy Spirit, and there's, I don't know, 130-150 people in this meeting, and we just released it for the people just to get caught up into worship. And then right over that side of the meeting and right over this side of the meeting, two brothers together in perfect harmony sang a whole new song. I could feel the hairs on my neck standing up. I mean, you could not create that. It was a God thing. And total soft, perfect harmony, no practice, it just happened like... You see, when we're in tune with God and we're listening to what God's saying, God's wanting to show us something of His supernatural ability so that we will believe him for more in our lives, because he wants us to be able to demonstrate to an unsaved, lost world that he is alive and he's God. He's not a man, he's God. God's not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Well, many times he can't do it because we won't do what he tells us. And we can't keep hiding behind the sovereignty of God by saying if nothing happens, well, it wasn't God's will. God has chosen to work together with us, hasn't he? He wants us to listen to his voice so that we can do what he tells us. Because God has got exciting adventures for us. That's why I say when we come together in meetings, and we need to be open. I remember I was in a meeting one time, and we were just desiring God to move. Nothing was happening. Holy Spirit said to me, go and put your hand on that man's head. Well, okay. Walked up from behind, just put my hand on his head. He was the closest head. The moment I put my hand on his head, he started to prophesy. I was standing behind him. He didn't even know he put his hand on his head. He started to prophesy. When he prophesied, that prophecy released something in the spirit realm, and the whole meeting lifts up into another realm. You see, and then if someone else starts to obey God, then it'll go up into another realm. And it's just wonderful when you see God leading us by his spirit, by his voice, and we learn to do what he asks us. He will take us into his throne room, into his glory, so we can experience things of God that we come away and we say, wow, that wasn't organized. You can't organize that. This has got to be God. But as I understand it from the scriptures, our part is to listen to God, and whatever he says to you to do, do it. So why don't we? Because often when he asks us to do something, we think, oh, I can't do that. Do you know what? God never asks anybody to do what they cannot do. He's not stupid, but we treat him like he's stupid sometimes. And as I said last time, if God said to you tonight, I want you to go, let's make it an easy place, Afghanistan. And when you get there, you will meet a man in a marketplace, and I want you to walk up to him and you say these words. What's your first response? Well, being a Kiwi, I can't afford it. Would God waste his time telling you to do something you couldn't afford to do? No. If you haven't got the money, then you've got to start believing God for it. I purposely took a team of unemployed people on an overseas mission. And every one of them got their money by the pay-up date. It was pretty close for some of them, but they got there. And we took them off to the Fiji Islands, even threw a big hurricane in to make it more exciting. Which reminds me, one of the most amazing miracles that I have witnessed of God happened in that hurricane. We were way inland up the Singatoka River in a village called Nawarambi. And they said, there's a hurricane coming. The four elders of the village came and they stood in the room where our team was, and they made this public declaration. We believe God will spare this village. He will protect this village from the hurricane because the man of God is here. Suddenly I realised they're talking about me. Because I tell you, those people have such faith. And so they made a declaration that God would protect the village. At that time, I'd been studying about Jesus and Jonah going to sleep in the storms. So I said, Lord, I'd love to go to sleep in the hurricane. Well, when the hurricane comes, if you've never experienced one, folks, it's an awesome time. I mean, awesome as in it can be freaky. The rain, the wind, pitch black, and we're in this tin shed, you know, and there's branches and coconuts banging the iron at night, and every nail hole in the tin, there's water squirting in, and we're under 3 inches of water, and I'm plunked up on this double bed, fast asleep for 5 hours. Should have beaten 5 hours of that. Anyway, this village was built at the fork where two rivers met.
Oh,
And I remember it was daylight, I got up, I walked out there, and this river was right up the top of the banks, but no water ran into the village. I walked down to the other end of the village, not one bure, one house was damaged. The only damage was a brand new concrete block building that the walls had been blown down. When I got to the other end of the village, I tell you, I just could not believe what I saw. On the riverbank, which was the same level as the village, there was a rock just about as high as this room that had been spewed out of the river and sat on the bank. The coconut trees by the river this high were wrapped around with flood damage, flood rubbish and all of that stuff, and less than 20 feet from that tree on the same level of ground was the first house. No water went in any house. And we couldn't get out of that village for 5 days, but when we got out, it suddenly hit us just how true God had protected us. Every village was in utter destruction. Houses had been swept 30 miles down the Singatoka River right out to sea. One village as we were coming home was buried under 6 to 8 feet of silt and mud. And yet this village that we were in, the only damage was a concrete block wall that blew down. Because there were people there that had faith to believe that a man of God was there. But you see, you and I are to be that man, that woman of God, wherever we go. And God wants to use us as signs and wonders to be able to touch people and to convince and convict people that the God we serve is a supernatural, living God. We got to know his voice. We don't want to be like Jonah if he says, arise, go to Nineveh, we arise and go to Wellington. Because that's not where God sent. But do you know what? Jonah was two-thirds obedient. He arose, he went, but he went the wrong way. How often do you and I do that? Because we want to so obey God. We get up there and we will do partial obedience. And then you pay the price. Because it doesn't work out. Listen, folks, whenever God speaks to you and you obey what God says, it will always work out right. Always. Because God is there to back up his word to those who are simple enough to believe it. Right? We've got to get back to that simplicity. You see, one of the biggest hindrances in the Western world to obedience of God is our pride. We're too proud. We don't want to be made looking a fool. What will the people say? Really, they're entitled to say and think what they like. Our concern should be, what will God say? You see? So the more we get to know and understand the voice of God, the better it's going to be for us. Listen, we're gone over now. Why don't you do what they do in Vanuatu? Stand up, stretch and backside. Let's do a little exercise now. Let's just take a few minutes and let us ask God to speak to us. In other words, you ask God to speak to you for you. This is not about getting a word for someone else, but ask God to speak to you in such a way that you'll know it's him. So let's just take a few moments and just however you're used to opening up to God, if you want to close your eyes, if you want to open your eyes, whatever, just Holy Spirit, speak to me right now. If you believe God's speaking to you, the first thing I'd encourage you to do is write it down. Capture it exactly like he says before you start to change it in your thinking. Very important to capture exactly what he says to us. Don't change the wording. Whatever he says to you. Okay? Kathleen?
I had to put that and go forward, stand soon with me.
Yes. Good. Good. I think one of the things that God wants us to learn about his voice is that when he's speaking to us, he's not just speaking to us for us. He's speaking to us for other people. And one of the beautiful things about the voice of God is that he knows the other person's situation. He knows exactly what they need. And also, God is trying to stretch our faith or to grow our faith by asking us to do things that we've never done before. Those of you that were here last time, I talked about calling a guy a horse. And I mean, I just quickly, for those who weren't here, I was speaking in a Bible college down in Christchurch. And as I was speaking, God just pointed out this guy down the back and said, you tell that guy he's a horse. And I just began to explain to God that we didn't do those kind of things when we were preaching, and that, you know, that wasn't right. And I just carried on preaching. And he just butted in again and said, "You tell that guy he's a horse." And I didn't want to. Honestly, I did not want to. And after the second or third time, here I am, I'm standing in the pulpit, I've got my Bible open, and I'm preaching from the Word of God. As a preacher, I'm doing everything right. And the Holy Spirit says to me, "Right now, preacher boy, even though you're standing in the pulpit teaching the people from my Word, you are in direct disobedience to me." And I got the shakes. I tell you, I got scared. And so I stopped preaching. I said, "Excuse me, the Lord told me to tell you, you're a horse." And when I obeyed and did that, next thing, I hear myself speaking out a revelation about the nature of that man, why God had brought him to the school, to break his will so that he could be, had a bit put in his mouth, he could be harnessed to do the work of the Lord. Sometime after that, I was in Nelson preaching, and I had a similar experience where I was preaching, and the Holy Spirit just said to me, "You tell that man that right now, spiritually, his life is like a smoky old two-stroke engine. And it is out of adjustment, and that I'm on his case, and I'm going to adjust him. Now you tell him." I didn't want to, because this guy was 6 foot tall, about so wide, and I thought he could pack a bigger punch than the horse guy. So I just carried on preaching. Again, the same thing. "Right now, preacher boy, even though you're standing in the pulpit teaching from my Word, you are in direct disobedience to me. Now you tell him." So I stopped. I said, "Excuse me, sir. Holy Spirit's told me to tell you that your life is out of adjustment right now, and spiritually you are like a smoky old two-stroke engine, and spiritually you are something like this." The next thing I'm going, pop, 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 and I'm popping away like a smoky old two-stroke engine, you know. It just came. Oh, I felt an absolute right banana standing and pop, 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 pop. You know, and then I went on preaching. At the end of it, this guy gets up, and he was big. He walks down to the front, walks straight up to me, sticks his hand out, shakes my hand. He says, "God bless you, brother. That's exactly what I needed to hear." He said, "I don't know what's been going wrong in my life, but," he said, "I've been asking God, whatever it is, I want it sorted out, because that's me. I'm out of adjustment." Then he looked at me and he said, "By the way, I'm an expert on two-stroke engines." Now, what I didn't tell you was, I don't know anything about two-stroke engines, but I was explaining to him in minute detail how they worked. I don't know how they work. You can tell by looking at me, I don't know how much works at all, eh? But those are Holy Spirit things. You see, that was exactly the right description in a way that man could totally understand, that God was talking to him through somebody who knew nothing about the situation but in his language. And when you are moving in this area quite regular, you know, it used to surprise me at times, but people, before you spoke to them, they would stop you and say, "Oh, I know exactly what you're going to tell me." And you tell them, and they say, "That's exactly what I knew you was going to say, because God told me you were coming." You see? And I mean, this is one of the areas of the voice of God that is so important for us. You know, I'm looking for the day, folks, when you take in Acts chapter 9. Saul of Tarsus has an encounter with God out there on the road. He struck off his horse or whatever he's on. He's down there on the ground and he hears the voice, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Who are you, Lord? This guy's all religious. And who are you, Lord?" He didn't know who he was. He'd never heard the voice of Jesus before. And the voice comes back, "I'm Jesus, whom you're persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks." That's good old King James language. And the moment Saul connected the voice as being with Jesus, you know what he did? Totally yielded his will and said, "Lord, what do you want me to do for you?" Totally submitted his will. I mean, you know, in these days, some of us take 40 years to get there, if we get there. But this happened on the day of his conversion because he connected with the voice of Jesus. Jesus, this amazes me, but Jesus could have told him what he wanted to know then, but he wanted him to be tested. He said, you get up, you go into Damascus, and one of my disciples by the name of Ananias will come and tell you what to do. That was testing his will. Why? Because Saul hated Christians. And he was going to Damascus to beat their brains out, if they had any, and to put them in jail or to kill them. Now, Jesus tests him to see if his will is really yielded by making him go into Damascus and waiting for a disciple called Ananias to come. And Ananias heard from the Lord and was sent to the house where Saul was and laid hands on him that he might receive his sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then he began to prophesy the call and the will and the purpose of God into Saul's life. That when he obeyed that, he became the great Apostle Paul and has impacted millions of people around the world. There's not one person in this room who has not been positively influenced by the Apostle Paul. Now here's the challenge, folks. Can God so rely on our obedience to his voice that he can tell the people your name and that you're coming? That's the challenge of obedience to the voice of God. Now, if God said to you, Joy, you wait at home because I'm sending somebody by the name of Kay to give you a word, and Jenny turns up, you hear what I'm saying? You know Jenny is not carrying the word that God's told you to wait for because it's coming through Kay. And God wants to get us to a place like that, you know, where he can give the person on the other side of your obedience your name before you even obey. So that's what happened with Saul. He went there, he waited for Ananias, not John, not Peter, not somebody else. You see, and when God gives you a name like that, folks, that's where you've got to learn to know the voice of God, because often there will be a John or Peter that'll turn up first. And you've got to so know the voice of God that you wait for the name that's been given. You see, I believe God wants to bring us to that place where he can trust us in our obedience to him, that he can tell people you're coming. You just imagine the testimony that comes out of that. That one illustration in the scriptures set a rebel up for life that next to Jesus Christ has most likely impacted more human beings than anyone else. And yet God used a very unknown disciple of Ananias, who we don't hear of afterwards again, to set his life, his ministry, and his future up for him because he obeyed God. Now, when you read Acts chapter 9, you can tell that Ananias' initial response was he did not want to go. Because he had heard all about this Saul, and God had to speak to him the second time, and then he went. There's always somebody waiting on the other side of our obedience. I don't know, I think I might have told this story, but that expression, always somebody waiting on the other side of your experience. I love to tell the story. Some of you have heard of Graham Cook, a prophetic ministry in England. I've heard him, and he tells the story how he was at the supermarket this day and buying cheese. And he's standing there looking at all the varieties of cheese, and the Holy Spirit said to him, you see that lady at the counter over there? Yes, he said. I want you to go and tell her that God told you that she and her daughter had a big bust up 2 years ago and have not spoken to one another since. He said, I want you to tell her that at exactly 2 o'clock this afternoon, her daughter is going to phone her from London and they will be reconciled. Finally, he goes up to this lady at the counter. Hello, how are you? You've got a daughter, haven't you? How do you know? He said, I'm a minister and God speaks to me, and God told me that 2 years ago you and your daughter had a big bust up and you haven't spoken to one another since. The lady started to cry. He said, God told me to tell you that exactly 2 o'clock this afternoon, your telephone is going to ring and your daughter and you are going to be reconciled. This woman was so moved, she took the afternoon off work, she went home and she sat by the telephone. At 2 o'clock, many of these at Southampton, her daughter's in London. She's walking down one of the busy London streets when there's a whole row of telephone booths. And just suddenly out of impulse, she just swung in, picked up a phone, right on 2 o'clock, and phoned her mother. And both of them wept over the phone as they got forgiveness and got it all right. The result of that was that both of them were born again in the kingdom of God a short time later. I tell you that story because, like Graham, we could have fiddled around with the cheese or even walked out and gone somewhere else, anything rather than to face that act of obedience. You see, God's wanting to give us experiences where there's no doubt this has got to be God. Doesn't matter how you look at it, you can't sort that out yourself. It's got to be God. Amen?
Amen.
You see, so that we have the joy of those things happening, so that people can know that Jesus is alive through us, because we're in tune with the living God, because that's what we're supposed to be, isn't it?
Amen.
And God's alive. He's alive and he talks. All he needs is somebody to listen. Amazing what God can do. I was in another one of my trips. I've been to Fiji many times and way up in the interior, and there were 8 people in this inland village that wanted to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I don't know what was going wrong, but nothing was happening. I said, Lord, what do we do? And the Holy Spirit spoke back to me and got me to do something I don't think I've ever done before or since. He said, get the Christians to hold hands and to stand in a circle around these 8 people. Put these 8 people in the middle of the circle. We all stand holding hands, looking at them, and we all just together just to pray and command them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So we weren't winning any other way, so better listen to God. We did that. Within a few minutes, a whole 8 of them were sovereignly baptized in the Holy Spirit. And we weren't laying hands on them. We were holding one another's hands. God did it. You know? From there, I went to another place called Bar. And there was a whole lot of people there wanting to be filled with the Spirit. And when it comes to the time to pray, I mean, they just turned on the noise channel and they were hissing and sussing and yelling and screaming and nobody was getting anywhere. I've never done this before in church either. I stood up on the chair in the front row and I said, shut up, the lot of you! That was me sermon. And quieting them all down. And I thought about the circle thing. I thought, nope, God's got a better way. He just said, be quiet, be still. And one after the other, they all came through in the Holy Spirit. You see, we like to work on habit and tradition. We like to feel confident because we've practiced for this. But you can't practice for Holy Spirit ministry except by obedience. God is looking for our obedience, and there's no way we can obey God if we don't know when he's talking to us. Agreed?
Mm-hmm.
And so this is an area that I encourage you all, talk about it amongst your friends and amongst yourself. How can we get more sensitive to the voice of God? How can we hear it more clearly? Because I tell you, the more clearly we hear the voice of God, the more God is going to trust us with missions that's going to have outstanding results, where you will see people radically transformed because you were in the right place at the right time just through obedience to the voice of Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
I tell you, when you experience these things, just sitting and passively listening to another sermon doesn't hit the mark. But when you see God coming through and touching people, see the signs and the wonders and the miracles. I'll finish with this one. Well, we've got a few minutes, but in the healing ministry, there is a huge challenge to the Christian church to see a whole lot more healings. I believe healing is one of God's greatest ways of impacting the lost. And when you look at the early church ministry, the miracle of healing came first, the preaching came second, and the decision came third. And if there's no signs and wonders, if there's no power of miracle healing and stuff, then in a secular, humanistic society today, they are not going to be convinced by words alone. We are deceiving ourselves if we think we can quote a few scriptures to people and say, now you pray harder and your problem will go away. People with problems are actually praying harder than us. They've got to have something more than that. People have got to have an evidence that the God we represent, he's alive. He's real. He wants to break through in their lives. But you and I have got to be the channel or the vessel of obedience through which he works. And so for that to happen, one, we've got to stop doubting the voice of God. Because that just takes us down a dead end street and we grow old and we don't see the fulfillment of our vision, of our dream. Secondly, we've got to be willing to step out and to do things that we've never done before. Haven't got to here yet, but anyway, you've got the notes. But you look in there are so many things that happened in the scripture that God only did once. But when something happens once, we want to build a monument to it and make it a tradition. I mean, one of the things there, this amazes me, you know, back in the days of Elijah and Elisha, old Elisha dies of sickness, but when he's dead, there's still power in his bones enough to raise a dead soldier that got thrown in the same grave as him because they were in a war and they had to get him out of the way. So they threw the dead soldier in, he hits the bones of Elisha, jumps back to life, reports for duty. Now here's a question. Why didn't the general bring all the dead soldiers and drop them in there? It only happened once. You see, and God wants us to have the joy of doing things in obedience to him that we've never done before, but it's just so uniquely right for you and for me. Amen?
Amen.
And to do that, we've got to know the voice of God enough that we will be more bold and courageous to step out beyond our own negative thoughts, about our own fears, about what will people say, what if I get it wrong, we don't want to get egg on our face. You know, that's the pride thing. Instead of just, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and the privilege and stepping out. I mean, we're supposed to be dead to self, aren't we? As Leonard Ravenhill said, the old man can swim, it's the fire he can't stand. But God wants to speak to us so that he can send us on mission and we'll have the joy of coming back with a testimony. It doesn't just have to be by word of mouth. In our next prayer letter, to me it's exciting, but we've just been told from the Congo, never been there, but over 350 people have come to Christ just because they're circulating our emails around the country. You know?
Yeah.
People are hungry for God. Spiritual gifts, which we're going to move into. Spiritual gifts are our tools of the trade. The supernatural, they're of the spirit. They impact people. They enable us to minister spirit to spirit so that people know God's on their case. God wants to give us more of these experiences because it really opens doors for you to speak, to get the gospel out. See, people don't find it difficult to believe in a God when they've seen a miracle of God. Amen? I'll finish with this, some of you, with spiritual gifts. Often when you're traveling ministry like I am, you have words for people, but you're not around to see them fulfilled. That's why I like going back to places, because you just hear so many testimonies. God's doing a whole lot more than we think when we obey him. I was down in Sicily in Italy, and I had a word of knowledge for a lady that God was going to release her in the gifts of healing. I spoke that out, never saw any evidence, left town. But on my next trip to Trapani there in Sicily, everybody in that place that knew me when they saw me came up to me and said, "Have you heard about Juicy?" Juicy was the name of the lady. It's quite a common Italian name. G-I-U-S-Y. And, now what's happened to Juicy? After you left, she was in her home one morning, and the Holy Spirit said to her, "Juicy, I want you to take a walk down the other end of your street. You knock on the door that I will show you, and you offer to pray for anyone sick in that house." So Juicy was in a little bit of fear and trepidation. She'd never done anything like this before. Finally, she plucked up courage. She went out of her house and she walked down the street and all the time praying like crazy, "Lord, which one?" And she got down the other end of the street and the Holy Spirit said, "Knock on that door." So nervously, she stepped up to the door and she knocked on the door. And a lady came to the door and she just said, look, I live down the other end of the street. I'm a Christian and I felt God spoke to me today to come down here and to knock on your door and to offer to pray for anyone sick in this house." The lady burst into tears and just fell in her arms and said, "Come with me." And she took her into a room in the house and there was another lady in bed dying with this massive brain tumor. And Juicy laid hands on her and prayed for her and God totally healed her.
Wow.
Got a doctor's clearance, totally healed. You see, that was activated by my obedience to the Holy Spirit. I never saw it happen, but I sure heard about it next time I was in town. You see, there's always somebody waiting on the other side of your obedience. I believe the key to all Christianity is our ability to recognize how and when God is speaking to us. Learn to recognize the voice and let us encourage one another, because we can all get out of that, you know, that sensitivity to the Holy Spirit where you're just so open and you're so available. You might have had a few knockbacks, so your doors close and you get careful and cautious, and then a few months down the track you're doing nothing. We've been closed down. But God doesn't want us closed down. He wants us opened up, because he's got divine missions for us to go on. And I tell you, the things that we see and read about in the scripture, God wants to give us some of those experiences. But we've got to be available and willing. Amen? So, can you believe God? We can all go to Africa next year. I'm serious. God wants to do things. And there's not one person in this room that God can't use unless we block him out, because he won't violate our will. It's got nothing to do with age. It's got everything to do with availability, with willingness. Lord, here am I. Send me. Amen?
Amen.